Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Come on. Do I have to clip it to my clothes? Oh, God. I feel like I'm a... Oh, fuck you, Michael. Fuck you.
Five-minute warning.
Hi, you guys. My name's Jenny, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, everybody. Just to start off, I fucking hate sharing. I hate it. I love Michael, so that it counts for something, but I always, like, because I want to be, like, I love this program so much, and I want to carry the message and, like, change lives, and, like, people leave and be like, that chick blew my mind, and then I get up here, and I was a tweaker, so I feel like I get up here, and I'm just like, I just don't talk about anything, and I, you know, it doesn't make any sense, and I get all nervous, because I really want people to know, like, what this program's done for me, because it's pretty spectacular. So I'll give you a little background. I'm from Texas, which is a reason enough to be a drunk and a drug addict. It's a horrible place to grow up, and my parents, this is another reason for this whole situation. My mother is a head cheerleader and a homecoming queen and very pristine and proper, and my father was like the quarterback of the football team, and like they were high school sweethearts in Kermit, Texas, which big shout out to that shithole. And on the outside, like in Texas, like stuff's really important. I don't know if any of you guys are from Texas and you love it. I apologize. I fucking hate it, and that's gonna be pretty apparent. But Texas is one of those towns, like you have the love of Jesus in your heart, and you can talk shit about everybody as long as you say bless their heart or God love them. And so my parents on the outside looked great, like awesome. My mom's a beautiful lady. My dad was this like successful guy. They went to college together and all this shit, and on the outside everything seemed really perfect. They had two kids, me and my sister, and things weren't perfect. My mother was an alcoholic and definitely a love addict of some sort. She had a wonderful tendency to fuck my friends' dads in high school, which was always really fun. Like, people's moms would come over and I'd be like, oh, hey, Mrs. Bender, and they'd be like, where's your whore mom? And I'm like, oh, weird, she's in my bedroom with your husband. Like, I had no, like, I was so naive to all of it that I was just like, I just thought that everybody's moms went in their bedrooms with your friends' dads. Like, and my dad was a really abusive guy. So I came from like a lot of sexual abuse. My dad sexually abused me, but not my sister, which is hysterical because I was like really in Texas. I would be considered slightly dykey because I didn't have big hair and I didn't wear makeup and I raced motorcycles and I did stuff that proper ladies don't do, and it was super frustrating to my mother and very infuriating to my father. And so, from the time I can remember, you guys, I was so weird. I was such a weird little kid, and I hear this all the time in the rooms. People say like, I never fit, but you guys are all too young. But there used to be this show called The Electric Company, and it was always like one of these kids is doing their own thing, and I was always like, that's me, because I mean, I was so fucking weird. I wore a zoot suit to like my first dance. My mother was like, let's go buy you a beautiful dress, and I'm like, no, I'm gonna wear a pantsuit. You know, my mom was shitting her, and I took a girl, which went over like a fucking fart in church. But anyway, so like I said, from the time I was little bitty, I never fit. I was weird and just didn't have a place. And you know, I was sexually abused, and I tried to tell people, and nobody believed me. So then that just made me really mad. So then I was pissed and weird and didn't fit. And so, you know, for a long time I used humor to kind of mask all that, and then I got in sixth grade and I found this fantastic stuff called booze, and then in eighth grade I found this even better shit called speed, so I never had to sleep. I could drink all the time. I was super crafty. I made so many craft projects, you guys would be so impressed. Like, if you don't sleep for 3 weeks, you got a lot of shit to do. So I got really into drugs and really into drinking, and then I found my people in the punk rock scene in Dallas, which was awesome, and I was off to the races, man. I partied balls, and I had a really great time. Like, I'm not gonna lie and say like everything was horrible. It was rad. I partied with rock stars, and I went to all the clubs, and I did all the stuff. And then one day, I went to the doctor because I was feeling really super sick in the mornings, and I was finally getting boobs, which I was really excited about, and couldn't figure out what was wrong. And my doctor is like. Really? No idea what's wrong? And I'm like, no idea. And he's like, when was your last period? And I'm like, June. He's like, it's December. I was like, whatever. Like, turns out I was pregnant, which was awesome. That's what any 21-year-old drug addict should be. And so I quit doing drugs for the 6 months that I was pregnant, because my baby, I think my body was like, is this why we're not partying? Because let's get it out and get back to it. So I had a premature baby. He weighed 1 pound, 9 ounces when he was born. And he was itty bitty. I still call him the peanut. He's 6'4 now. And he's like, if you fucking call me that in front of people, I'll kill you. But I can't stop. But anyway, so I have this beautiful little baby. And for a while, he kind of anchored me back to like reality and helped me like not die. I think that's a God shot. Like, I totally was all anti-God because Texas, it's, my mother used to drag my ass into church with her nails between my bone and my muscle because I'd always be like, fuck God. And then she'd grab me. I'd be like, okay, God's great. God's great. And I'd have to sit there through church. And I hated it. I hated how I felt like it was hypocritical and ridiculous and all this shit. And I just felt like people hid behind it to hate in Texas. So and whatever works for you as far as higher power goes, more power to you. But that the mean God from Texas, I hated. And so I have this baby. I quit partying for a little while. But then the magic thing happened. Like, my kids started walking and talking and shit. And I was like, this is rad. I can just take him with me. And I took my kid with me. You guys, I swear to God, I'm mom of the year here. But I took my kid with me to the bars for bottom little earphones, and I just dragged it. Like, people would be like, whose baby is this? I'm like, it's mine, he's fine. And I would party balls at the clubs and just do whatever I wanted. I was so super selfish, and I was an absolute asshole. And my mom would do that thing, like, if you want to bring the baby, by, and I would literally, like, I'd be on the phone with her, and she'd say that, and I'd be at her front door and, like, throw the baby at her and go, like, out and party. And I did that for a really, really long time, and I started to have some pretty killer consequences. Like, I accidentally burned down an apartment complex and making stuff. Thank you. Making party favors and I technically didn't burn it down. My friend Tanner did, but I was part of it, so I guess I'm to blame. That's on my amends list. Fuck. How do you make an amends for burning down a building? I don't even know how the fuck I'm gonna do that. But anyway, so shit got really bad, and I did what any good drug addict, alcoholic would do, and I thought, I'll just move, because that way I can start all over and nobody will know the horror that I rained down on Texas. So I moved to a more stable place, LA. So if you don't want to party, awesome choice to move to LA with your friend who is a writer, director, Hollywood guy. So I left Texas with all my rock star punk rock friends, and I moved to LA to start partying with the Hollywood types who got way better drugs and could, you know, you could go party on their yachts for days and shit. And again, I was totally, when I moved to Texas, I was like, I'm going to be the best. When I moved to LA, I'm like, I'm not going to party. I'm going to be a really good girl. I lived there a week before I was dating the biggest drug dealer in Los Angeles, and I was banging a bartender at the local bar. So I was off to the races, like 10 days, I was already back. And I lived in LA for 12 years and I partied really hard. And unfortunately what happened for me is, my kid got sent away because he was 17, so like he's like, fuck you, I'm out. And when he left, he was my anchor that kind of kept me from spinning so out of control, and I lost it. I went to the doctor. The doctor's like, hey, you got to quit partying. Your body's shutting down. And I was like, whatever. I just quit going to the doctor. I was like, well, fuck that. You're lame. And so I didn't go to the doctor anymore. And I partied for another year until one day I got a call that one of my friends that I'd been with at a party the night before left the party. I went home, and he hung himself. And that was a big one for me. Like, it was kind of the reality check, because I was 41 years old and still trying to party and live this life and pretend like I was happy and that everything was okay. And I was fucking dead inside, you guys, like dead. And I never wanted to go to AA. And I'll never forget, you guys, the first meeting I ever went to, I thought, oh, I'll go somewhere close to my house. And I lived in Koreatown in LA, which is slightly shady. And the first, I walk into this meeting, you guys, and there's a guy there with like wool gloves duct taped onto his hands. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, what is happening here? And like all these weirdos. And I was like, I'm not like these motherfuckers. I'm way cooler. I've got it so much more in the bag. And the next thing you know, everybody starts sharing. I'm crying like a bitch. And I'm like, this fucking freak show with his hands all taped up is just like me. And it's like, and I got into AA, you guys, and I blew that shit up. I was like the pink cloud super, I still am, pink cloud super obnoxious. Like, I tell everybody hi. I'm stoked to be sober because it changed my whole entire fucking life. Like, I went from having this really small kind of sad existence that I thought was so glamorous to having this big, huge life. I before you guys, if I wanted to bake up some speed and burn down an apartment complex, I could call 50 people. But if I wanted to move or I needed help doing something like my taxes, like, I was fucked. Like, nobody would help me. And now it's like, I'll say something like, oh, I'm really tired. My friend's like, what do you need? Do you want some coffee? Do you want me to bring you a pastry? And I'm like, who are you guys? Like, and I move and alcoholics help me. And I go to parties where people are sober and nobody steals anything or burns anything down. And it's it's fun and huge, and it's like, it's really easy. And I mean, if you're new, if I can get sober, fucking anybody can, because I have the, you know, mental capacity of a gnat. And so it's a lot of work, but it's easy. You just have to see where you fucked up and admit it, and then tell somebody else, and then carry the message. Like, I know it's hard. Like, 4 steps suck and all that, but if you do it and really put in the work, your life gets so much bigger and better. And I'm so grateful to be here. There's lots of people I love here, so it makes it not so bad that I'm fucking mic'd up and sharing. But I think that's my time, right? There you go, iPhone. With great power comes great responsibility. Oh, thank you. I don't like the microphone. How stressful. It's somehow loud. I love you, man.
Heiko, I'm an alcoholic.
Heiko!
Is it working?
Yep.
So my wife would say it's a goddamn shit show. Thanks for your share. Welcome to all the new people here. And anyone else come back to the program? Let's see. A sobriety date, September 26, 2007. Got a sponsor. Got a couple guys I'm working with right now. And my home group is Men's Single Topic. This is my third stint getting sober. I got sober for the first time in 1999, and then went out, was sober for a bit, came back. I don't know, I think it's important to talk about that, you know, it's great when you get it the first time, and it didn't really work for me. This is definitely the best time. I'd never want to go out and do this again, you know, but it took a few times. I mean, I quit smoking fucking 26 times or whatever. It finally stuck, and I haven't had a cigarette in shit 6-7 years, something like that.
Wow.
But it's worthwhile just to stick with it, and, you know, it takes what it takes. all right, so, fuck, I'm gonna be 41 next month. I was born in, grew up in Marin County, rough and tumble Marin County. Out there, it's okay, my wife. It's my mom's birthday this week, took her out for Christmas. So, and actually, walked by the house I grew up in. It's definitely it's a nice place to grow up. It's definitely a little nicer now. But, so my parents are German, hence the weird fucking first name. I got an older brother, and parents were immigrants that came in the 60s, and, I thought it was pretty normal childhood. My wife says it's not quite super normal. My parents had a furniture store, and we were always fucking broke when I was a kid. My dad would give everything away, and like we were always like funneling money from one container to the next, and like my parents would always fight a bunch. I don't know. I thought everything was fine when I was a kid. There was lots of fighting going on. Shit. I had a ton of friends growing up, and I didn't do anything like alcoholically when I was like really young. Everything was pretty darn normal. I played baseball, played soccer really badly, played basketball really fucking badly. And life was really good. I mean, I think when I was seventh grade or so, everything got a little weird. I started like not paying attention well in school, and like kind of my mind started drifting off to escaping, I guess. So that's kind of maybe the first hint of maybe like alcoholism showing up, you know. But went off into high school and like did the normal high school thing. Played baseball, played freshman in garbage cans. Had friends. Didn't really do any drinking or drugs until like junior year, which is really fucking weird when I look back on it. It's just not normal. I was at a party, I think it was maybe after a water polo game or something like that, and someone offered me a couple shots of tequila and a couple Budweisers, and it definitely worked. God, tequila's fucking horrible. I can count on like one hand like how many times I've had tequila in my life, you know. I remember that first time. It was it. I mean, it was fantastic. It was just like everything was just really mellow, and it was just, I think immediately I had this thought, I need to do this like again as soon as possible. And it was like the next weekend we went went to San Francisco to this liquor store, this Korean liquor store called, had a 7-Up sign on it. It's still, it's in the Richmond. It says, drink liquor. They're probably still selling to underage people. Like, they didn't ask for your ID or anything. Just like, brought it whatever you want. They're like, done, no problem. Went to drink liquor a lot when I was in high school. Good place. I ended up, years later, I ended up living like 2 blocks away from drink liquor. And I going there every fucking night after that. So I was went to public high school, went to Redwood High School in Larkspur, played baseball, water polo. I think as soon as I started drinking, my grades started suffering a little bit. I started taking school a little less seriously. I was pretty serious about school, I think, in high school. My brother went to the United States Naval Academy, and I wanted to do the same thing. I was pretty serious about that track, wanted to go in the military, and so I applied, and I got in. I would have had to do 1 year of, it's called NAPS, Naval Academy Preparatory School up in Rhode Island, and so I was probably going to do that, and so... I was really fucking into that. I wanted to go and do fast tack nuclear submarines, and it just seemed really fucking cool to me at the time, and go into engineering. And so I was doing that, my friends and I don't know how the fuck we came across this, but we started sealing nitrous tanks, and one of my friends had this great idea, and it's pretty good. You just, like, dentists, like, they have nitrous, right? And the tanks weigh probably about, like, $1.20, $1.30, so it's a little heavy to get into the office. You keep them outside in the shed with one master lock, and just bolt cutters, bang, and a pair of, like, scissors. You cut that thing off, throw it on the back of your truck, and we had nitrous, like, my whole senior year. And like, nice. Jesus Christ, I must have dropped my IQ by like at least fucking 15 to 20 points. Got in the nitrous and Pink Floyd.
Of course.
The Wall, Dark Side of the Moon, it is fucking incredible. Wow, wow, wow. So, yeah, we fill up the lanes and we pass out on the sofa or on the couch, and like, you can't take the hit while you're standing up with it because you will fall on it and almost knock your teeth out. Because I've done that once, I got really fucking close, bloody lip and stuff. So we did that, and we wipe the tanks back, and we'd be nice and deliver them back, and put a new master lock with it. I don't know if it's being nice. Maybe that's just like not costing them like $500 as opposed to a couple hundred. I probably owe some amends. I definitely owe some amends.
Call me.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know. I know where they're at about, but I don't know which ones exactly. So I started flirting a bit with drugs in high school, obviously, nitrous oxide, and I smoked a little bit of pot, never really dealt, agreed with me, and I think we tried ecstasy the first few times, and it wasn't, like, real. It was just, I don't know what the fuck, it was fucking laxative, or it never fucking worked. So when it came time to go to college, I got into all the UCs and then the Naval Academy, and for some reason I chose to go to UC Santa Cruz, which I know is like almost the same as the Naval Academy. It's kind of like Naval Academy, UC Santa Cruz. So I was going to do that, go there for 3 years for a liberal arts degree, then go to UC Berkeley for engineering school for a couple of years. So I chose to do that, and I went to Santa Cruz, and it was way fucking different. It wasn't that far off from RIM, but it was like, so this was 93, way fucking hippie. The dead were still like kind of slowing down at this point. Jerry was like a year off from dying. Like, the fish were fucking huge. And like, I'm not that big on hippies. But Santa Cruz, it was okay. I mean, like, it was okay. I was not okay when I was there. I started drinking a lot, and gotten doing acid. I did a lot of fucking acid there. A lot of acid, a lot of ecstasy plus acid. candy flipping. That's a trip. So then I did great. My first was it first quarter there, first trimester there, and after that it was all downhill. My college academic life has been just a shit show. That's just like been a progression that just goes on and on. So yeah, so I started doing like I was on my own for the first time. Let me backtrack a little bit. So like when I, so I've always been like kind of a mama's boy, I guess. Yeah, I have been. So my parents, like they fought a lot when I was a kid, and my brother is 5 years senior than me, and so he left for college when I was in eighth grade or whatever. So and then I went to the high school, and my freshman year in high school, my mom, she took off. I guess she had it with my dad, and she took off with her friend, her friend. My mom, she's a lesbian. It's her friend. And so she left my entire high school years, and she came back my senior year, like on and off. She'd be back like 3 days out of every like 2 weeks or whatever to like yell at me and just be a bitch. And I always thought at the time, this is totally fine. It wasn't. It was fucked up. It was really fucked up. It's not a good thing to have to go through. And like, in retrospect, it's bullshit. I mean, I'm fine with my mom now. I love her to death, you know. But like, looking back, I definitely, I was not able to like kind of be an adult. I mean, not that I would have been an adult like going to school anyways, but I was not fucking prepared to like be on my own, and like nor was my father like able to look after me. He was just so attached to his work, and like he was not really there when I was younger. My mom did all the raising, so like when it was just him and me, he had no fucking idea what to do, you know. And he did the best he could, and it was kind of a shitty job. So anyway, so I'm off to college right now on my own, and I'm fucking not capable of dealing, like, handling myself. I'm barely capable of handling myself these days, you know. I had some freedom, and, like, it was, you know, I don't have to go to classes. I can just drink and do acid or whatever, and so I chose the latter, you know. And it's just, I didn't think about that, you know, why I'm at college, you know. I didn't think about my future or any of this shit, you know, or like money, for instance, like this stuff actually costs money to go to. So I quickly got an academic probation, and on my sophomore year, I dropped out. So I dropped out, and I moved to San Francisco, and I moved right by Drink Liquor. I was working at Macy's selling women's shoes. So this is like slightly going down just a little bit. It didn't take me all that long, like really to really hit it any sort of time. You know, I worked at Macy's for a couple years, and like I would just like drink every fucking night, and I lived in this like shitty place in Richmond below this guy who was in the fucking Merchant Marine. He would get up hella early, and he was always like threatening to beat me and my friend up. We would play music, and we weren't even that fucking loud. It was like my upstairs neighbor and my friend's upstairs neighbor, they were always like threatening to beat the shit out of us up, like for like playing music. The other guy was the Hell's Angel, so like it was a little scarier. I wasn't super duper worried about. So when I was in the city, I moved to South Market on like, I was on 9th Street in between Mission and Market. And that was like, that was kind of a shithole at the time. It wasn't quite the Tenderloin, but this was like, South of Market was not a good place to be if you're like fucking drug addict, that's for sure. Like, crystal methamphetamines, ecstasy was just huge. I mean, the rave thing was like slowly winding down, but it was still there. And so I partied for a couple years, and it was not like partying at the end. Like at first it was like going out to the clubs, raves and whatnot. By the end it was just like fucking smoking speed in my apartment every night. And I started I started hanging out with people who, I guess you could say, I would say at the time were lower companions, people that didn't have houses or apartments or whatnot. And it's just, the only difference there was like a time span, the way I look at it, you know, like I had a job up until I wouldn't be able to have a job anymore. And they were past that point. So there was no fucking difference other than this time span, you know, which is definitely movable. So, and, I was 23 years old, and my brother had a couple kids at this point, and I think it was his birthday, and I was up at his house in Vacaville, and I was, like, way fucking spun out, and my family, they had an intervention on me. You don't ever see the intervention. Like, when you walk into it, you don't see it. Like, there might be a fucking room of 30 people in the goddamn circle, and you will walk in and sit down, like, hey, what's going on? The doors might, someone might be locking the doors behind you. Putting you in handcuffs. Because you were fucking high and crazy. So they had an intervention, and they're like, you know, got a drug problem, and I'm like, I think I just need to graduate from college. I need to go back to college, because that's the answer to my problems, not the fucking answer to my problems. So they gave me opportunity to get cleaned up. They took me to Ross Hospital in the morning, and I checked it out. It was like some 30-day inpatient treatment. I was like, I think I need outpatient. It's a really bad idea. You don't do outpatient. Really fucking bad idea. So then they took me to a different place, Serenity Knowles, and I don't remember how this all went down, because I was way cracked out. And so I agreed to stay, you know, do the 28-day. And so they dropped me off. They're like, see you fucking later. You know, it was like $6,000 check. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That's a lot of money. That's not, they cost like $20,000 now, I think. And they dropped me off, and I was in rehab. So this is 1999, and I had my 24th birthday in rehab, and I was up there for 3 months, and it was fucking great. It was like, it's one of the best times of my life. I've told people this, and they look at me. I've told people this at work, and they're like, you're fucking crazy. But yeah, rehab was so much fucking fun. I smoked so many cigarettes, a shitload of coffee, a ton of sugar. Yeah, it was great. It's just something like only like an alcoholic or drug addict would agree with. They're like, I have this time off to do this shit, and like, get sober, and like, this is awesome. Like, anyone else would be like, they wouldn't get it. But it was great. I paid attention. Like, I had that first thing happen, like, where at first I was like, oh, I just got a problem with like crystal methamphetamines, perhaps some cocaine, a little bit of heroin, not much. Probably shouldn't do ecstasy or acid or mushrooms, but definitely not alcohol, even though I drank every day. And then, you know, after a week or so, they're like, yeah. Like, I got it. Don't worry, I can't drink anymore. So, and I bought it, you know, and, like, I paid attention, you know. And, like, it's funny because, like, when I went out later on, like, you start forgetting things, you know. But I still remember all the shit I learned to rehab, you know. And, like, I still remember it fucking now. It's funny, like, all the, maybe because I was there for 3 months, because it's a long fucking time. So it definitely settled in. But yeah, it was great. I had no exposure to AA before. I knew a guy in high school who had gone as court sentenced to AA, but other than that, like, no idea about recovery, 12 steps, whatnot. And I definitely bought in. The whole God thing, I didn't, like, I had this like fucking woe is me, all the shitty things that have happened to me, my friends dying or my girlfriend dying, like, that's, like, God's problem or some bullshit like that, you know? Like, so I had a problem with that, you know? And, like, you go out enough times, though, you're like, you don't have a fucking problem with that after a while, you know? And so, but, yeah, but other than that, I totally bought in. And I got out, and I moved in with a friend, and started going to meetings, and I did the deal, and it was really good. I got a job. What the fuck I was doing? I worked for the newspaper. I lied my way in. I was like, yeah, I totally know about graphic design, and I've seen some articles in newspapers and magazine ads. And so I got a job in the newspaper. I got a Honda scooter that my friend had ran into City Hall in San Francisco and was totally beating the shit out of up, and it was so much fucking fun. And so things were good. And then I met a girl and then stopped going to meetings. And that's just a really fucking bad idea. And then this is something that's happened a few times to me. And I stopped going to meetings, and like I kind of like I wasn't drinking or using. I was, I guess, abstinent, but not going to meetings. And then it's like you start the fucking timer on like how long you can go before like you can't take it anymore. And so I was still technically sober, but not really. And I started working in San Francisco, and I worked on the San Francisco Options Exchange, buying and selling options for a brokerage firm. And that was the worst fucking job I've ever had. Jesus Christ. Fucking bunch of assholes up there. Can't remember the gentleman who was sharing here about a month ago, but I guess he works in the financial markets. I was just thinking the whole time he was sharing, God, I'm so glad I got out of that. Fuck, I hate those people. Every single day, I would go to work, think about how much I wanted to murder everyone there. I'd come home, crash out for an hour, dream about how much I wanted to murder everyone there. So I was there. I got there because I won. The bull market was still going on. Like, I knew people on the market, and they made a shitload of money, like buying and selling options, and I wanted to get in on that. And but you got it. I mean, you got to be fucking quick. You got to be really quick with your math, and you got to be really type A personality, really aggressive. And you have to be there when the market's doing well. And I got there, and the economy started slowing down. September 11th happened, and then it turned into a goddamn shit show, literally. And like, not literally. So then the market started tumbling, and things got really bad there, and people started getting fired. And I hit the point where I just said, it's fucking mad, and I started drinking. And I don't remember what it was, but like my defenses were down. I was at a bar or something like that. I think my girlfriend, someone offered me a drink. Just like, didn't even think about it. Didn't even think about taking a drink. You know, I'd been sober for a couple of years, and just like, and I had a drink. I had two drinks that night, and it was fine. Everything was fucking fine. It felt normal. And a month later, I was smoking speed again. And so that's something that doesn't happen to a normal person. You know, like have a couple of drinks, and then a month later you're smoking speed, because normal people don't smoke speed.
What?
You don't party on the weekends with methamphetamines. People don't do that. Or heroin. Cocaine, maybe. Maybe cocaine. And I was told in uncertain terms I had to stop doing that. So I stopped doing that, and I just drank for a little bit, and then I stopped doing that too. And so that was a really quick relapse. And I was living in Oakland. I was living at Lake Merritt at the time, and I would like complain there was no fucking meetings around there, which is like ridiculous. I lived 300 feet from Diamond Links meeting. We're in fucking Oakland right now, right? There's plenty of meetings in Oakland. And just wrapping this up. So I got sober, and then I stopped drinking, moved back to Marin, and then I started going to meetings again. And I started going to meetings in Marin, and then I moved up north and decided to get my life in order. I was late 20s at this point, so I started going to JUCO, junior college up in Santa Rosa. Like, I'm really going to fucking be serious. Like, I'm going to go to school for electrical engineering. I'm going to go into Cal. I'm going to show all these people. So I did that. And I was really serious about academics. Went to school, did a fucking great job, and, like, stopped going to meetings again. And got really, really mad, and started drinking again because I couldn't fucking take it. I'm just like, this is not... I owe myself to, like, having pressure valve. And which is fucking ridiculous. So I had everything happen right for me. I got into UC Berkeley. I was going there for engineering school, and my life was totally in order, and I was drinking, and I was not happy. And then my life, it came apart again. You know, this is just the same fucking thing happens where, like, I I get sober, I start going to meetings, things are good, and then things start happening well for me in life, and then I stop going to meetings, and then I start the timer, and then at a certain point I pick up, and once I pick up, it's just things get fucked up, and I hit a bottom, you know. And this one, there was a good amount of time between like when I started drinking and when things came off the rails, you know. I was in school, and then I don't know, college is fucking hard, you know, and like, and I'm definitely not capable of fucking going to school and drinking or using, you know. And actually, as it turns out, when I got sober again, I finally got sober there, and I wasn't capable of going to school either. I got sober when I was at Cal in 2007, right? And let me backtrack. So I was going to school there, and I was kind of doing really badly and worse and worse and worse. And then I was dating a girl for a couple of years, and she dumped me. And then that's just when it really went off. The train went off the rails. I would start drinking and start doing a lot of cocaine, a lot of methamphetamines. When you start doing methamphetamines, there's like a real short time span. Really, drinking, you will hit a bottom eventually. Methamphetamines, you will hit that bottom, not eventually. It just, it's real fast. You know? It's like not years, it's months. And so I hit a point where I couldn't do this shit anymore. And so that was like September 2007. And I got on the phone late one night. I had like four or five beers. I was drinking a lot, like probably 12, 14 beers a night. And I had like four. And I wasn't even drunk, maybe just barely buzzed. And I just fucking melted down. And I called an old sponsor like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And I was like, what do I do? What do I do? Firstly, don't go call me at this time of night. Secondly, go to a meeting. And so I called up central office, probably what, 3:45 a.m. And they gave me a meeting in Berkeley the next morning at 9. So I went to Berkeley Fellowship at 9 a.m. and for a meeting. And it was terrible. It was really fucking terrible. I fucking hate Berkeley. I really fucking hate Berkeley. Everything about it. I fucking hate Berkeley. That said, it was a pretty bad meeting. So, but I'd gone to AA enough times to know there was just one meeting. So I knew there was other meetings. So next morning, I went to the Rockridge Fellowship, and that's where I got sober this time around. I got sober with people who were many, many years older than me, and it was fucking great. I went to a meeting every day, sometimes at night, and I got into it, you know, and I did it for me this time. I didn't do it for anyone else, not to impress anyone else, or like not for my parents or whatnot. I just knew like I wanted a better life, you know. I did a little bit for the cash and prizes. I wanted a better life, and I thought, you know, if I'm gonna get a better job or make money, I have to do this, right? So, my first year of sobriety were hard, and not in the sense of like staying sober, because that really wasn't like the not picking up a drink or using. I went to a meeting every day. I had a sponsor. I worked the steps. That was not super bad. The urge to drink or use left me very, very quickly. I had like once in my first 30 days where I really wanted to drink, and other than that, it pretty much left me. So, everything. I met Allison, and we started dating like after, I was sober like 6 months or whatnot, and that was really, really great. I had a lot of friends in sobriety, and I started going to school again, and that did not go well. I kept on failing out of Cal again and again and again sober. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Never did graduate. I'm like a semester shy of graduating. Never fucking going back. I had this weird skin condition happen. My eczema got really bad, and it was fucking horrible. Where like I was really sick for a couple of years. I was not able to find like any like decent employment. So I was fucking broke my first 5 years. My health got really fucking bad, and it was horrible for a long time. Like my friends got me through it, you know, Allison and my friends, and I wouldn't say my higher power because like that fucking didn't work at the time, but like the people in the rooms did. My friends would visit me, and like somehow I was able to get through it, and anyways, so I got through it, you know, I stayed sober. I kept coming to meetings. That's something I've done, you know, these last 8 years. And, like, things are good today. They're, like, they're fucking normal. I mean, like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. The best people I've met in my life, my wife, my child, my daughter. Like, these are all, like, because I'm sober, because I show up. And, like, in these days, like, I don't do it for the fucking cash and prizes anymore, you know. I'm pretty happy overall. I mean, like, everything is not, I don't have these crazy highs and lows anymore. I'm still angry. I still have to work on that. But I definitely care more about people and those around me, what I can contribute than I did before. And I think that's why I come back now. It's a little less selfish than I was before. Things are pretty darn good. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I don't know. I'm so happy I got sober. I don't ever want to go back to this shit, you know. I went through so many years of my life where I'd be at the party, at a party, and I'd be, like, drunk, way too drunk somehow, and like, way too drunk to talk to a girl or something like that, and be like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Why this always fucking happens to me? Like, I'm the one asshole among my friends who just gets way drunk and, like, is unemployable and just, like, fucking an asshole, you know? And, like, I don't have that happen anymore, you know? Like, I know what's wrong with me. It's alcoholism. I can't use alcohol. I can't use drugs. I have this crazy mental condition that shows up even without drugs and alcohol. Like, I'm fucking a spaz at work, you know. I have an anger problem, you know. I need to treat this, you know. I need to go to 2 to 3 meetings a week. I need to work the steps. I need to talk to my sponsor, let him know the fucking crazy shit that goes on in my head. There's nothing fucking wrong with me. This is just, I've got a mental condition. It's a psychological and mental condition, you know. And that's fine. And I'm not embarrassed about it at all. I'm okay today. And, like, I feel less the need to impress people or show off or any of this shit. I'm fine. Anyways, it's really good to be here. This program's been so good to be. The people I met here, they've given me so much of their time, love, and, like, I don't know. I'm so, so thankful. Anyways, thank you very much.
Yay!